Good evening. I think we're on. Oh, I think we're on Facebook. One computer says we're live on Facebook. My other computer says we're not on Facebook. Liz will tell me if we're on Facebook, but I think we might be on Facebook.
Not finding it. Oh, yes, we are. We are.
Happy days. Good evening. Welcome to Shift Church on this hottest day of the century. It's officially so hot that clergy don't have to wear dog collars. That's the official.
Got any is that true?
No, I just made it up.
You're just wishful thinking.
Yeah,
David is
wishful thinking, but it's too hot to wear a dog collar today. So, if you don't know me, my name's David. I'm the curate at All Saints Church. Do you want to introduce yourselves to anyone who's new on the stream?
I'm Liz.
Hi, I'm Liz. It's good to see you all tonight.
And we are the Shift Church team, otherwise known as SCT. To the cool kids. just made that up. And do say hello if you're in the stream for the first time or the millionth time. If you're catching up, maybe you're wandering around the weekend or you're walking the dogs or you're doing the shopping and you're catching up, you're so welcome as well. And I know you can't join in live, but we'd love still to know what you think. You might want to email in. And tonight, Liz is going to be keeping an eye on the comment stream. So anything you want to say or join with the conversation, she'll be bringing that to our attention. And before we do anything, I want to encourage you to share this Shift Church thing. So it depends where you are. On my screen, I've got the point there to say share. So I'm going to do it now because I practice what I preach, and I'm going to share it to my profile. So all my many, many friends, all 25 of them, will be invited to join in. Great.
New people on the stream now, so just say hello. Hi to Alice and Emily and Deb, and hi to Charlotte and Ali, and yeah, Emmy, already said, didn't I? But, and a few more as well that I can't see the names of, but anyway, welcome everyone. It's good to see you.
Great, do say hello, and if you're new for the first time, do say hello for definite, and we'll be able to give you a shout out. That's what we call it. Great. So tonight we're continuing to look at creation care, which I want to get off my chest as a kind of, what's the word? You know when you have like an official meeting and you have to declare something, like a vested interest, what do they call it?
Declaration of interest, what?
Yeah, declaration of interest. Because in my previous life, I was head of geography at Smithswood Sports College in Birmingham. So I love geography. I love colouring in. I love rivers. I love all that stuff. And my sermon last week on climate change and Jesus was maybe not my best ever sermon, but definitely my favourite, because I got to talk about two of my most favourite things in the words of Sound of Music, Jesus and geography. And they both begin with the same sound, which is exciting. But what I thought we'd do to begin with is have a go at working out how many planets we would need if everyone lived like we do. So if everyone lived like, in a minute, I'm gonna do a quiz, and everyone who lives like me, we're gonna see how many planets we would need. And I'll invite you to join in as well. Does that make sense? Have I explained that well enough?
I don't know until you start the quiz.
Okay, well, I'll start the quiz and see if it works. So basically this quiz tells us, if every single person in the world lived like me, would the planet be able to sustain my lifestyle?
Right.
Okay. And do join in on the comments. If I ask you a question that we're going to see in a minute, do chuck your answer down in the comment stream. So hopefully I'm going to share my screen to this. Can you see it? And can you hear me and see me?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, it's a shame that you can see me. But so the first question is, how often do you eat animal-based products? So I'm going to go all the way across to very often. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because unfortunately I tend to have meat every day. Maybe at home you can go and do this quiz and you might have a different thing. And then how much of the food that you eat is unprocessed, unpackaged or locally grown? Uh-oh, this is embarrassing.
Oh dear.
Probably maybe 10%. Mm. Mainly because I don't eat much fruit or veg and we get that from the market generally. This is not, I feel like I'm confessing. Which house is my best?
Plus you buy things from Greggs.
I do buy many things from Greggs, but that's local, I suppose.
Yes, but where did they get it from?
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
I don't think they're local veg.
I don't understand this, but I think I'm freestanding with running water. I think that's my home.
Yeah.
The material is my house constructed with brick and concrete. Look, there's a little picture of my house there. See, these are things that you don't even think about really affecting your carbon footprint.
Mm.
How many people in your household? 5. Mm. Oh, gosh, I don't know the size of my house. I'm going to go large. Yeah. I'm going to guess large.
Just give you a square footage thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't know either. I haven't got a clue about that. Yes, I have electricity. How energy efficient? I think we're above average. No, we're not. Having read that. No, that'll do. Now, we get all of our electricity and gas from bulbs, which are eco-friendly.
Mm.
So I'm going to do...
Eco-friendly is not the same as from renewable sources.
No, they are. I think bulbs are renewable sources.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 80%. I'm going to be positive on that one. How much trash? Loads. Loads. But we've got kids.
Yeah.
And we don't use disposable wet wipes, actually. We use reusable ones. So I'm going to move it to there. Motorcycle. I don't have a motorcycle. I'm not as cool as Nick Brook in his motorbike. And I probably do, not much. I think maybe 200 miles a week. No, 100 miles. A week, I reckon. I've got a diesel car. So what's that?
Middle? I don't know.
Haven't a clue.
No, I'm going to get to the middle because it's taking too long. Do I carpool? Well, no, because we're not allowed to carpool at the moment, are we? Because of COVID.
Yeah, true.
Do I travel on public transport? Not very far, although I use the train today, but ironically only because my car was being serviced, so I use the train to go and pick up my diesel car. How many hours do I fly? I haven't flown any this year, but I used to fly a lot. Right, so this is it. So how many planets do we think I would need if everyone lived like me?
1.5.
1.5. Any comments on the comment stream?
I'm guessing more than 1.5, but no comments about how many yet. I'm just putting the link in the comments stream.
That's a good idea.
Great idea. My goodness.
Now it's gone.
So if you can't see that, it says we would need 5.8 planets. So if everyone in the planet lived like me, we would need 6 planet Earths to sustain us.
Wow. And so I was even under with 3. Wow.
Yeah, that is just shocking, isn't it? And I have to confess that we used to, before we had children, we'd fly 3 or 4 times a year. And we would plant trees to carbon offset it, but even so. And flying is a huge thing.
Doesn't work like that.
Flying is a huge thing that's poor for the environment. But yeah. I think it was really interesting. And there's new, when we do things like that, it makes us think, oh my goodness, my lifestyle is pretty shocking.
A couple of people want to do that with their kids. So I've kind of just, I think it's footprintcalculator.org. I've put that in there.
There are quite a few online, but I don't know what the best one is. But that's, as you say, they ask the same similar sort of questions.
And I used to use it as a geography teacher with the kids. And it was, it's just shocking, isn't it, when you think, I think I'm quite good for the environment. I think I recycle and I walk where I can, and that's all really important and it makes a difference. But clearly more drastic measure is needed.
Oh, I've just had some guesses come in, but it must have been after.
Oh, okay. What guesses did we have?
2 people guessed 20 and 1 person guessed 3. So
20, wow. To be fair, it might have been with the flying, might it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It could easily get to 20, I think, if you didn't do those things like the sustainable energy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's as you said, I think in your sermon, David, that the people who use the least and have got the smallest footprint are most impacted, because they're in the global south.
Yeah.
They are most impacted by the results of climate change.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard an interesting thing. If you can remember back to the 80s, Geldof, the Live Aid.
No, David can't. He's too young.
Oh, dear. Bob Geldof, Live Aid. There were famines in Ethiopia. It was terrible. Governments weren't doing anything. Bob Geldof did Live Aid, and, you know, when he was sent there. Well, apparently, the scientists have found out, you know, it's taken like 16 years to find out, but that famine was caused by a drought in the sort of the middle belt of Africa. It was caused by pollution and industrialization in the global north. So literally, even way back then, we were impacting, you know, our poorer neighbors.
Ali says she was at Live Aid. Wow. And I remember I was allowed to stay up all night watching Live Aid. I think I was about 11.
Whoa.
I was allowed to stay up all night, and that was a big thing. And wow. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
Well, we are thinking tonight of climate change and the gospel, and we're not going to watch all of this video, but we've got a short kind of 2 or 3 minutes to watch, which is entitled, Does the Gospel Have Anything to Do with Creation Care? And obviously, we'd probably say the answer is yes, but let's just have a little look at the arguments about that.
Should we practice our Christian faith in the midst of all this environmental strife? When we ask our Christian students what they think about the environment and taking care of God's creation, one response is consistent. The environment is important, but it shouldn't distract us from what really matters. And what really matters, they explain, is sharing the gospel. Now, if taking care of the environment is a distraction from the gospel as they see it, that might lead you to ask, what is the gospel message at the core of Christianity, and does it have anything to do with environmental stewardship? Many people see the gospel as a message of personal salvation, that if you choose to follow Jesus, to put your faith in him, you can be saved from your sins and spend eternity with God. However, that message is flawed if it's portrayed as an either-or choice, such that believers must choose between sharing the gospel and other ways of doing good. Others argue that Jesus announcing the kingdom of God implies something bigger than a message targeted primarily at individuals. Perhaps we should go back to the beginning. The biblical narrative starts in the Garden of Eden, where God chose to rule the world through humans, who are given a divine assignment to image God to the world and to rule in collaboration with God by taking care of God's creation and each other. The humans are given instructions not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, representing a choice to adhere to God's definition of morality or to define good and evil for themselves. They eat from the tree, and it does not go well. The stories that follow in the Hebrew scriptures reveal the repeated attempts of the humans to act as representatives of God, and the repeated failures to live up to that task. They were not capable of fully bearing God's image under their own will. But that isn't the end of the story. Jesus arrives as a new human that can be the true image bearer, to be the version of humanity that God had wanted to rule with all along. We're told that the life and death and resurrection of Jesus initiated what Bible scholar N.T. Wright called a revolution. Jesus' revolution involved subverting powers and principalities with grace, forgiveness, and love. Following Jesus can give birth to a new life in the midst of our seemingly ordinary existence. Being saved should change how we relate to God, but it should also change how we relate to each other and to everything around us. We are to reign as depicted in Genesis, with God, and as conduits of God's will. Through Jesus, we can conform into God's likeness and care for what God cares for and love what God loves. This version of the gospel views taking care of each other and the rest of creation as an outpouring of our salvation, not a distraction from it. Our life here on earth isn't a mere temporary layover on our way to something more. Our lives and our love for all of God's creation is a central, essential, life-giving, and life-filling part of participating in the kingdom of God. And that is good news.
I said we weren't going to watch all of it, but I really liked it, and I thought we'd watch it all because that change from black and white to multicolour, I think, is really, really special.
Yeah, yeah, and I like the way he said, you know, it we're not just here on a sort of layover until we go to heaven, as it were. You know, we're here participating with God in creation.
Definitely.
And that should be reflected in how we respond to those around us and to the natural earth as well. So yeah,
and that's a very good bridge in, Liz, to the Bible readings and Tim's sermon that we're going to talk about this evening. So I think, Lynn, are you going to kick off with our reading from Revelation?
Yeah.
And then we're going to read from Luke.
So the reading is from Revelation chapter 22, verses 1-5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
And I've got the New Testament reading, which is, well, that was New Testament as well, the Gospel reading, which is Luke chapter 12, and it's verses 11-21. So it's a parable of the rich fool. It's 13-21. Gosh, my eyesight. Oh dear. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God.'"
Amen. Great. And we're going to see what Tim has to say to us. And as always, I'd encourage you to join in the chat. If Tim says something that maybe kind of really strikes you, take a note of it to remember to chat about it later. Maybe Tim says something that makes you think, "Oh, I'm not sure about that, but oh, I haven't thought about that before." And that's always good to talk about things like that. So, yeah, over to Tim. We're going to disappear off the screen. We'll still be here and we'll see you in 15 minutes.
As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, as I've already touched on this morning, we're continuing this morning with our focus on care for creation. The title, if you like, is Eden Restored. Over the last month, we've been thinking about this care of creation thing quite a lot. We've thought about the way in which God entrusted humanity with the stewardship of creation and the responsibility that gives us to look after things in the created order. A few weeks ago, Richard came and encouraged us to consider the fact that the whole of creation exists in, through, and for Jesus. And that therefore our care of creation is an expression of our love and worship for Jesus. And last week, David, concentrating on climate change, showed how care of creation is a justice issue. How we address and take responsibility for actions in relation to climate change is directly related to our mission to proclaim and to be good news for the poor. So with that background, as I said, this morning we're continuing to explore this, but this time from a slightly different perspective. Eden Restored. We started perhaps right back in Eden Created, at the beginning of Genesis, and now we're looking forward to the end of time, to Eden Restored. How do we think about creation care in the light of Jesus' return? What difference does what we believe about the idea of Jesus coming back have on the way in which we treat the earth? So let's have some examples, perhaps. Let's start off with some perhaps not so helpful examples. So there is a strand of thinking that goes, let's just burn through it all as quickly as possible. This line of thinking goes that the sooner we destroy creation, then that will force God's hand and Jesus will have to come back. Now, it's perhaps easy to say that sounds a bit daft and to dismiss it, but I wonder if an alien was watching from space and watching what we were actually doing, I wonder if they might actually come to the conclusion that that's what we believe. What about another example? Well, perhaps another unhelpful one, which says it doesn't matter, actually, if we burn through creation, because when Jesus returns, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and it'll all be made right anyway. So it really doesn't matter what we do with this creation. Everything that's gone wrong with the planet will be put right, no matter what we do now. Now, on the face of it, that might sound a bit more reasonable. You see, Revelation, it does talk about there being a new heaven and a new earth. And Romans talks about creation being freed from the bondage to which it's been subjected. So perhaps you could pick out the odd verse from the Bible which would give you a little bit of rationale for that. However, it seems to me that this is also nonsense. It seems to me that it makes as much sense as saying that we might as well say it doesn't matter if we sin, if we destroy relationships with lies and gossip, if we destroy lives with injustice and oppression, because God will put it all right in the end anyway. No, don't think that one is very helpful either. What about if we take a completely different view? What if we go to completely the other end of the spectrum and we take God out of the equation altogether? What if we believe that we have to work to save the planet because there is no planet B? We become anxious that if we don't solve the challenges facing us in the environment and in creation, then it's doomed, and us with it. Jesus is never going to return, so it's all up to us. Not sure that's right either. And thinking about it, what I said about the first one, I wonder if that's actually true for all those ways of looking at the world. We might say that we don't think they're right, but what do our actions tell us? What do our actions say about what we believe? Seems to me that all three of these unhelpful ways of thinking between the relationship between how we look after the planet and creation and Jesus' return can be overcome if we have a good understanding what the Bible does actually say about the end of time, about Jesus' return. So what does the Bible say? Well, firstly, in many places, and addressing that third unhelpful way of thinking, it does promise us that Jesus is coming back. Jesus talked about this on many occasions, told lots of parables which implied it. But for instance, in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew's account of the good news of Jesus, Jesus, towards the end of his ministry, sat talking with his followers about what's going to happen afterwards. And he says this, "For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Even as lightning that is visible across the sky is visible, so it will be when the Son of Man comes in glory." That's just one example of Jesus talking about it. Paul, the apostle, the letter writer, talks about it in many of his letters. Just one example from his first letter to the church in Thessalonica. He writes this. He's talking to a church that is grieving because people have started dying. They thought Jesus was going to come back before people started dying. And people have started dying, Christians. And they're like, "Well, we thought Jesus was coming back." He says, "No, don't worry about it. Jesus is going to return. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. It's going to be longer than we thought, but Jesus is coming back." And then Revelation talks about this. In fact, Revelation talks about very little else. I did start looking for examples from Revelation. I thought I might as well just end up reading the whole book. So I thought, maybe not. A little bit of homework for you. But that last book of the Bible is all about what is going to happen when Jesus returns. So the biblical witness is that Jesus is going to return to earth. And at that point, we will see God and creation reconciled. Creation reconciled to itself. Creation, including humanity, reconciled to God. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, where the pain and sorrows of the old heaven and the earth will be no more. We can trust God for the future. We don't need to be anxious or to despair, but we do need to be ready. We do need to be ready. And that's the second thing I wanted to emphasize this morning. We've already started thinking about it a little bit with the Cat in the Hat. Are we ready for the return? Now, the reading we had that Tommy brought us from Luke's Gospel has, I believe, at its core, a call to live now in the light of the end. To live our lives now and the decisions we make now in the light of the end of that life, whether it's our earthly death or whether it's the return of Christ. In this case, it was all about what the person valued and how they used their wealth. Were they going to store it up in bigger and bigger barns for themselves? Or were they going to use it for the kingdom and store up goods, wealth for themselves in heaven? But the whole of this chapter of Luke, it seems to me, has this theme. Again, a little bit more homework for you if you want to go home and read Luke 12. Just pick out the number of times where this underlying theme of Jesus' return is evident. You see, the chapter begins with Jesus teaching about the judgment that everyone will face at the end of time and the importance of living lives now of authentic loyalty to Jesus in the light of that end. And from this story that we've read this morning, it goes on to reassure us not to be anxious. It encourages us to look to nature, to the lilies of the field and the birds of the air and the way God looks after them, and to trust God to look after us because God cares for us. And then we get two or three different household scenes. One about a house owner. If he'd known what time the burglar was coming, he would have been ready. And another one's about servants. If they'd known what time their master was going to return, they would have been ready. There would have been different outcomes for servants who had continued diligently doing their duties and those who had grown lazy and complacent and even started beating their fellow servants. All of these have, I believe, at their foundation, a teaching that Jesus is going to return and that how we live now matters. We are to be ready. And that isn't to send us on our guilt trip because we know we get stuff wrong and Jesus died on the cross. We're going to come to communion and remember Jesus' body broken and blood shed so that we could be forgiven. This is not to send us into a pit of guilt or shame. When we get stuff wrong and we sin, which we do, we can come to God and in grace receive forgiveness. And at the judgment, we will be in Christ and in his righteousness. But there is a reality that we will face it, and there will be an accounting. And part of being ready is taking seriously the call to live by kingdom values as we wait for the King to come and make them eternal. In that reading from Revelation, we heard that the leaves of the trees are here for the healing of the nations. So as we wait for that healing to be seen in all its fullness, for that fruitfulness from those trees that grow by the river of the water of life, we work now to bring that healing and that fruitfulness to creation and to lives and to nations. Now, we've been going on about this for a month now. I have a confession to make, brothers and sisters. I have not changed a single thing in my life as a result of this sermon series. Not a single thing. I've heard all the sermons, actually even the ones I haven't been here for. I've caught up on the video. I have heard most of this before, either in church. We did a creation care thing last Lent, didn't we? Was it the Lent before? I've lost track completely of what year we're in. And when we did that, I thought, you know what, I'm going to have a go at these bamboo toothbrushes and these toothpaste tablets, reduce my plastic usage. Eventually managed to do that. It took me two goes because I gave up. But then I got back into it. And then the other thing I thought was, right, okay, there was a big thing about reducing the amount of water we use. So I thought, right, okay, Lent challenge, only have 5-minute showers. I'll set a 5-minute timer on my phone and I only have a shower for 5 minutes. It is possible, but, oh, really? So I did that for Lent. I'm not doing that anymore. And actually, I think we have to put our hands up, as all saints, for those of us who have been here a while, we do have a bit of a pattern of this. We've got our eco-church thing going at the moment. I'm really grateful to Lynn and the team for encouraging us to do that, looking after our churchyard and taking account of what we're doing environmentally. But as part of the prep for that, working, I went back through some of the files, and I think it was around, it might have been 2000, it might be 2010, I can't actually remember. There was a thing called the All Saints Green Team. I don't know if those of you, some of you here, remember that. And a whole load of these initiatives we were talking about then as well. And we all got excited. Well, I wasn't here. Got kind of, oh, yeah, we'll do that. And then it kind of goes off a little bit. And then you have a, oh, yeah, we'll do something. And then it goes off a little bit. That's okay. It's okay. I'm not here to beat people up. It's just to be real about this. That actually, these are ingrained habits. And they're hard to change. And we might feel like we're doing quite a lot. We're not quite sure what else we can do. We don't know where to start. Absolutely, it applies to me. I'm not standing up here kind of saying this is how to be perfect. But I'm going to put a slide up. And hopefully, you'll all have had an envelope and a piece of paper as you came in. And I wonder, is there an idea that's been kind of nagging at you as we've been through this series? Those of you at home, perhaps you're going to have to write this in your diary. Those of you outside, if you're lucky, Nigel will bring you some paper and some envelopes. And these are just ideas that have come up in the various sermons that we've had as we kind of been doing practical application, switching to a green energy supplier, giving to an organisation like Tear Fund that works in this area around the world, bamboo toothbrushes, buying unpackaged veg locally, reducing the carbon footprint, reducing the amount of meat or dairy eaten, volunteering at an animal care charity, not updating your phone, leaving another year, reducing electrical waste, maybe even getting a fair phone, which is all kind of fair traded and fairly sourced components. Might be one of these, might be something else. But what I'd like you to do is choose one. Choose something to do. And write it on the bit of paper and put it in the envelope and write your address on the envelope and put it in the collection plate on the way out. And in 6 months, I will post it to you. What you do with that is between you and God. But it's just a little way of just giving you a little bit of accountability. And it's to yourself. I'm not going to open them and read them. It's accountability to yourself and to God of something you're going to do. In a moment, we're going to have some more worship. You might want to take an opportunity to think and write during that. You might want to do it during communion. If you're at home, you might just want to flick 6 months forward in your diary and write something in there to remind yourself. You see, God has entrusted the stewardship of creation to us. Creation is by, through, and for Jesus. In caring for creation, we are being good news for the poor, and Jesus is going to return and hold us to account for our care of creation. So what are we going to do next?
Well, I feel suitably challenged by the Holy Spirit, I think, in that.
Yeah.
I guess before we start, any thoughts from the stream, Liz, that have popped up?
Alice was saying she'd been really inspired by your sermon last time and by Tim's envelope challenge. And she says she's been to the Little Green Pantry, which is a new shop in Wellington. Right. And I know Tim's been there this week as well, to replace all her dry products with packaging from reusable containers. And from now on, intends to get all her fresh veg locally as well.
Well done.
Just grateful for the prompt. And she also said she loves the line, "We have to take seriously the call to live by kingdom values as we wait for the king to come."
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. And I think Tim was saying, you know, he'd been in there, he hadn't got any containers at the time. It was saying, we're going to go back. And so it's got so much stuff in there. It's got like herbs and spices, flour and sugar and pasta.
Was it?
Eco washing, you know, washing tablets and all that kind of stuff that you can do. Okay. Take your own containers and you fill it up and then you sort of pay the weight of it. So
you save money. You really do.
Yeah,
I guess it just takes a bit of intentionality, doesn't it? I mean, that word's used a lot, but it is so much easier to get in the car and go to Morrison's. It just is.
And more expensive.
And more expensive. You can park, you can get in, get it all in one shop, nice and easy with the kids, even traipsing around the market. But actually, it just takes a bit of organising and a bit of remembering to pop to the market if you're in town and taking your stuff with you to the Green Pantry. It's not actually that much more complicated. It just takes a bit of thinking in a different way, I think.
Yeah. It's like Tim was saying, he was saying that we have ingrained habits and it's just getting out of those habits.
Yeah.
You know, if you get your shopping online, for example, like we do, it's very convenient. And I'd struggle physically to go and do that, but it doesn't mean that we can't try and do it in other ways kind of thing. So,
we're the same because we have to get it delivered because being disabled and having no car. But then it's very annoying in like lockdown as everything came in excess packaging, you know, and we're in the middle of plastic free July as well. And I remember doing it last year, and it was annoying because you got such the grapes from Chile, and you think of all the air miles that's flown and things. So the various things we can do. It disappointed me when Tim said, I haven't changed a thing. But then it's amused me since. He said, just tried having shorter showers, but given up. Well, I don't know about you, but we've been having texts from Stephen Trent just telling us to cut water usage. Are you not? Yeah. In TF1 mate, it's text from Stephen Trent, cut the water usage.
Oh. Ooh, we've not had it in TF on here.
What I can do to help Tim, if you want, is I can lend him a little person. And what little people tend to do is speed up the showers because they want to come and help you by pulling the shower curtain back like you're on.
Oh, we remember it now. We've been there.
Oh, you feel like you're on the Generation Game. Ta-da!
Yeah, I feel like I have to defend him because it was really great that he was honest. But he does actually already do a lot. I mean, he does more than me. He's really good. He sorted out all the green energy that we use and things like that. He's very up on those things and much more than I am. He often challenges me and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's so good, like you said, his honesty. Because I how often will I preach a sermon and not change anything? Quite a lot. Mm. How often will I hear a sermon and go, wow, that was great. And then that's it.
Yeah.
And I haven't changed anything in my habits, my environmental habits in the last month.
Well, I got challenged last year about cling film, you know, because there are variously the 5 or 7 R's, which is refuse. And there's something coming out in the notices next week about this.
Yes.
So to sort of carry on with what Tim said in his sermon. So refuse single-use plastic, because there are alternatives to cling film. Like you say, refuse and refuse to just buy excess amounts of stuff, because the amount of stuff we buy ends up in the trash, as you were saying. Reuse, repair, and there's another one, I'm sorry. Like Liz, my brain's melting in the heat.
Is it recycle?
Recycle, yes.
All the R's.
All the R's, yes.
I think it's on the website as well, so yeah.
What also what we didn't say was, going back to your worlds thing, if everyone is living to David's standards, sorry, David, and using up 5 Earths, then we will get to the end of this one 5 times faster.
Oh, but that'll bring Jesus back quicker.
See, that was one thing that I thought was interesting in the talk, was talking about the theology, because it came up in the video we watched earlier as well, didn't it, about how some Christians say, oh, it's fine, we don't have to care for the world because Jesus is coming back and restore a new creation.
Yeah.
And some of them I've actually heard some people say, well, we should hasten it on.
Yes,
I've heard that.
Burn up.
I'm horrified.
Never mind about climate change because Jesus is coming. Yeah. And I think that's so anti-biblical. It's so anti everything that Jesus stood for and anti-stewardship of creation.
As I said, I was listening to something at 4:30 from Steve Hollingshurst. Now, it's not available yet, but it will be. But he was kind of ending with this, that new heavens and new earth creation, and he said, now I'm not a Greek scholar, but there are 2 words in Greek, and it's not, the word used is not new earth as in a brand new earth, but a remade one. In other words, we have the creation remade, which puts an entirely different spin on it, doesn't it?
I've read that before, and again, I'm not a Greek scholar.
No, he did say the Greek words, but that's a bit beyond me.
But I've read a few kind of journals or something that say the same thing as that actually there's a very good argument that it doesn't mean a new earth and a new heaven, like brand new. It means new, made new, as is. And I think Yeah.
I think it's a restoration. The Isaiah passages is all about the restoration of
yeah.
A new heaven, new earth. It's like a renewed. And you want to read N.T. Wright or Tom Wright on that. He wrote a book called Surprised by Hope, and that's all about that.
That's the one.
Really, really good and really in depth. But yeah.
I mean, there's a very good little video going. I can't remember. It's done on the BBC, I think. What would the earth be like if mankind, you know, ceased to exist? And it's very good. It's only like 4 minutes long. And it's sort of saying, you know, in a month, all the tubes would flood. You know, fast forward a bit, trees would continue to grow, buildings would, pipes would go. And basically, it's, you can see it in Chernobyl, you know, trees have grown through buildings and taken over, nature's taken over the built environment, basically. But then it says sort of, you know, mosquitoes would have a field day because they wouldn't have humans anymore, they'd feast on somebody else.
Yeah.
But they were saying basically that the creation would recover, but we would have irreversibly left a scar on the planet because all the radiation would still be there, you know.
But it's like Richard said, didn't he, last week, that
all plastic would still be there.
Richard said a couple of weeks ago, didn't he, that if God had stopped creating on the sixth day, if God had stopped creating before he created humans, he would still have, creation would still be good.
Yeah.
He didn't make, I was like, oh my goodness, creation isn't just for us, is it? It's not really for us, it's for him.
No.
And I like what you said, Liz, about restoration and this idea that actually, if we or I change our way of thinking, that every time I do something to the environment, I'm helping with the restoration. So we turn it on its head. Instead of saying, hey, I'm going to go out and drive my 4x4 to bring Jesus back quicker, we kind of turn it and say, actually, no, by joining in with you know, this movement to save creation or safeguard creation and steward the environment, we're helping, like God needs our help, but we're helping God with this idea of restoration and renewal.
Joining in with it. There's a couple of things on the stream.
We're part of creation, aren't we? So it's all interlinked, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't live in your little bubble and not cause any harm.
Yeah, a couple of things on the stream. So Ali says, I love the fact that Jesus restores enough and accomplishes God's original plan for creation, whilst providing a place for us to dwell with him in eternity. So yeah, that was said. And then just a couple of comments about more talking about the shop in Wellington and the prompt to do that, which is really great. And talking about beeswax wraps for Klingfield.
Yeah.
Charlotte says she got 1.5 Earths in the in the quiz, so she's quite pleased with that, but room to do better, I'm sure. So, yeah.
Well done.
I think we're gonna listen to a song now, and maybe during this song, each of us who are here live and in person and catching up later, maybe this is the time to make a bit of a, not a pledge, but say, okay, this is what I'm gonna try and do. It's really easy, if you're like me, to hear a sermon and think, that's great, I'll think about it tomorrow. And maybe we can share that with each other with a bit of accountability. I know I won't post it to you 6 months down the line, but we can share with each other, can't we? And ask each other in a couple of weeks' time or whatever. How's that going? So I'm going to mute myself. We're going to disappear. And after this, I think Lynn's going to lead us in some prayer, aren't you, Lynn? After this?
Yes, I am.
Right. Well, let's worship and then we'll pray together.
Spoke your name into has sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared.
Amen. Amen. And maybe during that song you felt God, you know, stirring you to make a decision. You might want to share that with us. It might be between you and God, or maybe as Lynn continues to pray with us, God might speak to you. So let's be open to God's Holy Spirit speaking to us as we speak to him. Thanks, Lynn.
Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray for people who are affected by, especially by the heat this week and next week, those who are ill or for whom heat is a bit of an aggravation of a condition they already have. Pray for the elderly and for the very young, of those who are trying to sleep and cannot. For those who cannot have air conditioning, and for those who live in substandard housing. We pray for the lifting of restrictions, Lord. For some of us, it isn't Freedom Day. And we ask that people in general will be wise, the government will be wise in what they do and the advice they give. That you will be with us, Lord, as we seek to find this way through and with the pandemic. We pray for the effects of climate change, Lord, for floods in Henan province, China, for floods in Europe, in Germany, Austria, Holland and Belgium. People have lost their lives, their homes and their businesses. We pray for forest fires, and for extreme heat in California, British Columbia, Canada, and Siberia. There are 100 days to COP26, Lord. 100 days where we pray, and people will be praying, that our government and other governments around the world will take action, and not just words, but action, to halt runaway climate change. We pray that we may all be able to do our own small act, and that together we will make a change for good. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Lord, I pray that you'd challenge us all to care for your creation and help us to remember, Lord, that we're loving your world as just part of living for you. And thank you, Lord, that you will come to restore the heavens and the earth to the beauty of Eden and the rightness and the wholeness of Eden. But help us, Lord, to join in your work of creating, your work of restoring in the way that we respond to the situation around us and in our shopping habits and in all that we do, Lord. I pray that you just continue to challenge us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah, amen. And Lord, maybe for some of us who feel that ourselves, we need some kind of restoration or renewal, that actually maybe our body or our souls or whatever just feel a bit like they are in need of some kind of healing of the nations, that kind of image of the tree of life. Maybe we're in need of living water tonight. Come, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we pray for your wisdom and your passion, your creativity, as we think of what we can do individually and as a church and as a startup, as a society. What can we do to help steward your creation? Mm-hmm. Pray for a fresh revelation, Holy Spirit, of love for those people who are going to be so affected by this on the other side of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you are the creator God. You made this world and you love it and you made it good. So help us, Lord, to steward it well. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if there are any prayers in the comments for you, Liz, that you want to read out, but...
Not at the minute. No.
Okay. Maybe tonight, as we've been talking, you've realised that actually, okay, this creator God that restores and renews, he hasn't restored and renewed me. And maybe you're interested to know more of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it certainly doesn't mean that you've got all the answers or that you're perfect. Otherwise, none of us would be here. These two might be, they're pretty good, but I definitely...
I'll get away.
Flattery, hey? No, we wouldn't be here. So tonight, you know what, if you're thinking you'd like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, just you might want to message in the comment box right now, or drop me an email, or I'm David, I'm dropping an email at allsaints-wellington.org or message Facebook group, or if you know Liz or Lynn, drop them a message. We'd love to pray with you and talk more about what it means to follow Jesus, to say goodbye to the old life, and do our best to walk with him into everlasting life. Amen. Have we got any comments to finish with, Liz?
Alice says, I can't believe we've been talking about all of this for like years and years and years and years, like 26 years, she says.
Yeah.
A long time. Okay. Mm. Well, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. It is hot, right? He's just going to go and jump into a bath of ice water, I think.
Well, that's what they're saying, you know, this is what 1 degree of global warming is like. And we're heading towards more than 2, apparently.
Yeah. Although, praise the Lord, that the air conditioning in my car is now fixed.
Oh, thank goodness, yeah.
Why the window down?
It was only working in the front. So if you had it on, it was boiling the kids because it was coming out red hot at the back and cold in the front. But it's
now. Oh, dear.
Happy day. We're here again. Well, I'm not, but Shift Church is again next week when we're going to be thinking about living hope.
Is this your last one then?
No, I think I've got one more. One more Shift Church. Next, I know. For those of you that don't know, actually, if this is, I know we should have finished a minute ago, but those of you that don't know, I'm off to Aldridge on the 12th of August. I'm starting a new job as resident minister, whatever that means, vicar of a church in Aldridge, St Thomas Church, on the 14th of September. So looking forward to going there and causing lots of mischief.
Mayhem.
You will do.
Mischief and mayhem in the name of Jesus. That's the plan. But anyway... So we'll see you next week, Wednesday night. We're in church Sunday morning for All In. It's going to be fun, and we're going to be it's going to be live stream on Facebook as well. If we can do anything or pray for you, please get in touch. Drop us an email or message us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or anything like that. Can we all say goodbye in a different language? You first, Liz.
Adios.
Au revoir.
A vide. Bye, everyone. Bye.